You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, you can almost see it. You can almost smell it. The weekend is almost here. Put a smile on your face. We have a huge show for you tonight. We are going to discuss the disconnect with the American voter. There's a poll out. 9% of young voters like the direction of the country, but none of them are voting against Joe Biden. Why does that dynamic take place? We're going to do a ton of talk tonight about the federal government, illegal immigration. That interview I did with Tucker is blowing up all over the daggone place. So I'm actually going to open here in a minute or two explaining my thoughts on that, because Mayorkas gave a lot of testimony today. And there are some Africans in New York City that gave testimony today. And it's going to bring home what I'm talking about. We have all that deep state talk, the FBI's lumping you in with jihadis, all that and so much more tonight coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now I want to begin here with the big news of the day. Everyone is emailing me about this. I realize we have a bunch of new listeners to the show, so allow me to explain something. Tucker Carlson and I are friends. We got to know each other back when he had a show on Fox News. Our radio show was really, really, really small back then, but just he caught wind of something, ended up going on his show a bunch. We got to be really good friends. I've flown up and hung out with him before. Like, we're friends. And he has his new show, and he decided he wanted to have me on to have a long discussion about a new coalition of states. A coalition of states that is a little bit separate from the government. Now, let me explain my thoughts, because that interview went out yesterday. It's all over the place. Believe it or not, it's getting shared all throughout Congress, in the Senate, everywhere. I've got my phones melting from congressmen and whatnot talking about it. So let me just lay out a couple things, and then I'll give you some more detail after we get into the Mayorkas stuff. Here's what we all have to understand. The states created the federal government. The federal government did not create the states. The states created the federal government. They created the federal government because they understood that there are some things, a few things, that only a centralized government can do. We don't want the centralized government to do much, right? You're a small government person. I'm a small government person. We don't want them doing much, but things like, honestly, a currency. The currency of a nation. We really can't have New York having their own currency different than Texas's currency. Now you have a currency exchange. You can't have that. Okay, so there are certain things the central government has to do. And part of what the states agreed upon over the years was the central government, the federal government, needs to be the one who handles immigration. Who's a citizen? Who's not a citizen? How many people can come here? How many people are allowed to come here legally? Who will secure the borders? That needs to be a federal thing. That's what the states decided. Doesn't matter whether you disagree with that or agree with that. Doesn't matter what I think about that. The states decided, hey, this responsibility of immigration, of illegal immigration, needs to belong to the federal government. We can't have New Mexico's illegal immigration policy being different than New York's, being different than our Oregon's. We can't have that. It won't work. However, things have changed. And this is what I mean. Back when that decision was made, the federal government was occupied by people who wanted to do their duty. I'm not saying they were all saints. They certainly weren't. But people who viewed that responsibility as a serious responsibility. That was then. Back when we signed the contract, if you will, that was the condition on the ground. Today, here is the condition on the ground. The condition on the ground is the federal government we entrusted to handle immigration in this country has turned hostile to the American people and to the country itself. And they've taken their role as security guard. And instead of running security, they're actually inviting and paying for people to come into the country and gut it like a fish. The federal government, it's not just that they're failing at their job. They have declared war on the job they have. It would be like me, Premier, they pay me to do radio every day. It's my job to sit down, do a 3-hour radio show and entertain the masses right here on for Premier Networks. It would be like me sitting down every day and doing everything I could to get you to turn off the radio. It would be, that's what it would be. Me trying, not just sitting here in silence, hoping you'll change the channel. Me sitting down every day doing or saying something on the air with the intention to get you to turn off the radio. Well, if I did that, now the show's going great. Don't get me wrong. Everything's wonderful here. But if I did that, how long would Premier keep me on? Not very. We wanted you to entertain the masses. Instead, you're turning off the masses. We have to renegotiate the nature of our relationship here. They would make a phone call. Chris, same thing. Jewish producer Chris. His job is to produce the radio show. Michael's job, production work, that's what their job is. And they bust their butts at it. And they're good at it. And they contribute. And they have ideas. But what if they both showed up one day and they decided they were going to ruin the show? Not just be lazy. Oh, I'm going to sit here and drink beer. But they're going to ruin the show. Well, they have to be fired. I can't do this. It's not going to work that way. We hired a security guard. That's the federal government. This security guard's job is to guard who can and cannot come inside of our home. If the security guard then starts paying robbers to come loot our home, we must renegotiate the nature of our relationship. Now, I'm going to play some things for you, and then we'll come back to that. There are some eye-popping things. Speaking of New York, I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen to what the immigration system of America has brought. This is an African woman testifying in front of the New York City Council.
You know, in Africa, unfortunately for us, learning how to read and write is a privilege. And a lot of our brothers and sisters do not know how to read and write. So the language barrier is tremendous. It's impossible for them to do anything because they don't understand the language. They don't understand the way the city works. They don't understand anything. And you can go nothing. You can do nothing. You know, we are African. We don't speak African. We have different specificity in Africa. Only in the Congo, you have like more than 500 languages. Swahili is being spoken in Burundi. So I can speak with somebody from Burundi. But I cannot speak Swahili with somebody from Mauritania. You understand? In Europe, a Turkish don't talk for a French. A French don't talk for a Spanish. So why it is that you will put everybody in Africa in the same bag and thinking that because they speak Asanya, because they speak Pol, everybody will understand. You see, I told you Hakuna Matata, you couldn't understand anything. You see, so that's what we need. We need people that speak the native language to teach to those people. That's what we're asking the city, and the city refuse.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Did you drop your pants and take a steaming dump over the sovereignty of my country? And then we're not being accommodating enough to you here? Are we not being accommodating to you and your languages? Man, I'm so sorry. My heart's breaking for you. I gotta be on breaking for you. Listen to this crap.
This is unacceptable. This is shameful time in New York history. This city is not friendly for all people.
I'm gonna let her start again. Did you hear how she starts out? I'm gonna play this again. Listen to how she starts out.
This is unacceptable.
This is unacceptable? The illegal who left her dump to come reside and luxuriate in New York City hasn't been given everything she needs, and now it's unacceptable to you? Set aside your anger for that piece of trash for a moment. What does that say about our government? You understand that if you're in a country illegally, wherever you come from, wherever you go, if I decide I'm going to move to Germany tomorrow, don't worry, I'm not moving to Germany, but I just go there illegally. You understand that because I broke their immigration laws, I should be afraid. I should be afraid to get a traffic ticket to go to the DMV. I should be afraid because I'm illegal. And if they find me, they'll arrest me, maybe put me in prison before they deport me. Our illegals are so comfortable here, they give open testimony talking about how unacceptable their treatment is. I'm not done yet. We're going somewhere with this. Before we get to all the rest of this stuff, you obviously have seen the foreign aid bill. There'll be a vote on it this weekend. Just know that it's going to pass. All right. Legislations, billions here, billions there, billions for them, billions for this, and then there's nothing for you. And there won't be anything for you. We are in the looting the treasury phase of the late stage republic. You can sit around whining about that, or you can make preparations. It's time to make preparations. Oxford Gold Group is about making preparations. Precious metals are preparations. They're not jewelry. It's not fancy. It's not something for you to brag to your friends about. Look at all my gold coins. In fact, you should never tell anybody, but you should make a phone call and ensure that you have something to purchase goods and services with, and some sort of lasting wealth that's outside of the dollar, because these people are destroying the dollar. You know, you buy groceries. So make a phone call. 833-995-GOLD. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, and I do need to remind you that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. All 3 hours of the show for you new listeners. On Fridays, we do the same thing every Friday. All 3 hours are me answering your questions. What questions? Whatever. Whatever you email in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Don't have to be political. Can be anything. I don't care. History, food. We have a blast on Fridays. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Get those emailed in right now. They're already pouring into the show. Now back to what we were talking about. We're doing a long thing, in case you're just now joining us, about the states renegotiating their relationship with the federal government. We have a federal government that was charged with controlling the immigration into the United States of America. Instead, they have opened up our borders to the point where we now have Africans pouring into the country telling us their treatment is unacceptable.
This is unacceptable. This is shameful time in New York history. This city is not friendly for all people. It is anti-African and xenophobic. We came to share this testimony.
I'll let her keep going. Crossed the Atlantic from her dump, lives in the most important city on the planet, and sitting there in public without an ounce of fear of arrest or deportation, sitting there scolding the governing body. She's testifying before the New York City Council, sitting there scolding the governing body about how racist and xenophobic they are.
To let you all know in this council, you all are responsible for this pain and suffering that will affect us for generations to come. But you also can change this for better. New York City should at least live up to the standard it projects to the world, instead of the mediocrity he has shown our community. Africans deserve dignity and respect. We are not animal. This country has a habit to... I'm so upset. You have a
listen, she had to pause because she's so upset. Scolding you. Africa, we deserve dignity and respect. You deserve a prison cell, you criminal.
To receive all of our immigrants, all of our community. Why is it going to be done only to the African? Because it's embedded.
Yeah, you get the idea. Now, I'm going to play something else for you. Alejandro Mayorkas. Obviously, you know he won't be impeached in the Senate, but he did have to sit in front of the Senate today and speak with Senator Rand Paul. This is not just some fly-by-night street hippie. This is the head of the Department of Homeland Security. Keep that in mind when I say the states must form their own coalition. Red states must form a red state coalition, divorce their immigration policy from the federal government, and begin the arrest, deportation, and border security policy on their own. Listen to the head of DHS.
And so when you come to us and you say, oh, gosh, if we only had more legislation, we could do it. Why don't you bring back the executive orders of Donald Trump that seem to be working? You immediately got rid of them for political purposes. The border's a disaster. Why don't you bring back the 92 executive orders that you reversed?
I respectfully, Ranking Member Paul, disagree with the premise of your question.
That's because you refuse to look at...
By the way, little side note. I realize not everyone understands how everything works. Ranking member, what does that mean? Remember, when Democrats are in charge of a body or Republicans are in charge of a body, they get to choose the chairman of the committees. Chairman of the committees. All right, so you're the big cheese on the committee. Democrats control the Senate, so there's a chairman of this committee who's a Democrat. The highest ranking member of the opposition party, he's kind of, I don't want to say he's the second in charge because he's really not, but he's considered the ranking member, right? Clear?
The facts, and it's still, you know, I guess insulting to all of us and insulting to the memory of Lake and Riley and to the memory of others who have been killed by people who came into this country. I think a lot of people in America are going to be appalled, you know, that you refuse to answer the questions. Jose Ibarra, you know, was it lawful to parole him? Was it lawful to let him in the country because you say the camp's full?
Ranking Member Paul is a former federal prosecutor for 12 years. I can say with tremendous conviction that individuals who commit criminal acts need to be held accountable for their crimes.
Well, that's not much consolation if you wait until after he's murdered somebody. See, part of the problem is, and I think people would be aghast to know this, that when you come in, you just give people your name, right? It's the honor system.
I want you to pay attention to this part. This is your federal government. This is my federal government. We have entrusted them with illegal immigration. Listen to what they do.
There may be some databases you check, but certainly most of the domestic crimes in Venezuela probably are not in any kind of international database. So if you waltz into the country through your generous parole programs and say, I'm John Smith from Venezuela, you have no way of ascertaining that. You still let them go. So you say, well, we're going to make sure that they're not a violent criminal. You have no way. You look in some databases, maybe they're not in the database, but you have no way of even knowing that that's their name.
He goes on to explain that because they don't even use their real name and because we can't verify things from places like Venezuela and various African countries, various places around the world, they choose their name and we, the United States of America, give these people a new identity. We welcome them into the country and give them a new identity. We cannot survive like this. So it's time for something new. We'll discuss that next.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. So let's wrap up this thought here because I want to get to some other things. Yes, I understand about the jury selection in New York today, and we're going to talk about deep state things and the disconnect of the voter. I want to get to some emails tonight, but to wrap up this discussion, the federal government has been entrusted. The states gave the federal government the responsibility to control immigration, secure the border, who can come, who can't come, who gets deported. The federal government was given that responsibility by the states. The federal government has now declared war on the United States of America by immigration policy alone. We're not even going to get into everything else. They have opened up the border on purpose. On purpose. On purpose. You must understand and accept that. It's not an accident. It's not a whoopsie. It's not liberals. Why, were we too nice? They're flooding the country with rapists. On purpose. Therefore, states, red ones, it is time now to renegotiate the nature of their relationship with the federal government. Now, right now, we will not deport these people. There isn't even the personnel to deport these people. You know, we have about 6,000 employees at ICE. About 3,000 of those are the ones who actually deport people. But we're going to have a mass deportation of 10 million people. That's a friggin' lie. It's never going to happen. Oh, we'll bring in the military. Okay. Have you walked through that in your mind? You want a bunch of United States Marines knocking on doors? Hey, open up. That sound good? You think that's going to be good for the American people, for freedom? Hey, don't worry. We've just got a couple army divisions marching through town to deport illegals. You think that'll go over well? Do you think the American people would even support the crying babies being deported? Of course not. These people are here permanently. So we must begin taking steps now. Not after November. Not, well, let's see what Trump does. Right now. Red states, form a coalition. Challenge the federal government. Deport whoever you want. Arrest, deport people, build a wall 10 miles high on your border, put up machine gun nests for all I care. You know, deadly force actually is something nations have used since the dawn of time to enforce their borders. That's not some radical thing. I'm coming in. No, you're not. I'm going to force my way in. If you do, I'll kill you. That's basic border security. It is time to take this deadly serious because Americans are dying. Deadly serious. It is deadly serious. And if anyone from the federal government, after the red states form this coalition, if anyone from the federal government, Border Patrol, FBI, politician, I don't care who it is, tries to step in and stop it, arrest them too and send them to prison. Sounds crazy? I'm trying to save a country. Trying to save your way of life and my way of life. This is what it's going to take. Listen to these people. Listen to this.
Mr. Secretary, how many people have died from fentanyl in this country in the last 3 years, the last year?
Senator, I would be pleased to provide you with that data.
You have, what would be your guess?
Senator, I don't want to guess. But
so you don't know. 250,000 Americans have died from fentanyl poisoning, and that's on your shoulders. How many people have you paroled in the last 3 years? Any idea?
Senator, I would be pleased as I
mentioned. You can't, you're in charge of this. You have no idea. Is it 1 million? Is it 2 million? Is it 2 or 3?
Senator, I would be pleased to provide.
How many of those have committed a crime? How many people that have you paroled have committed a crime?
Senator, if you would be, if you're pleased to.
Mr. Secretary, do you recall a visit in January to Eagle Pass? You were in Eagle Pass in January. Do you recall that visit?
I recall the precise month, but I've made over 20 visits to the border, so forgive me for not remembering the particular.
Do you recall being in a room in Eagle Pass, Texas, with a large number of Border Patrol officers? Did you admit the release rate was 85% at that time?
Oh, as I've testified before, I don't remember the particular exchange to which you refer.
85%. The federal government we entrusted with the border invites them here, and 85% are flown into the country, given health care, given schooling, given visa cards, food, lodging, at your expense. Now you tell me, you sit there and tell me that I'm the radical one for talking about a red state coalition with immigration enforcement powers. I'm not the radical one. I would argue I am extremely moderate. I am the moderate one here. I am. We cannot survive like this. We can't. No nation can. And even if, look, even if, what if we do get these mass deportations and Trump wins and about all that, okay. But this is now the stated policy of American Democrats. So anytime a Democrat president is elected in the future, and they will be, we can bank on another 10 million, 12 million illegals. It's over. I don't mean the country, but the federal government being trusted with immigration law must be over. Those days must be over. Well, what about the Supreme Court? Screw the Supreme Court. If they want to come step in when the red states form their coalition, they can be arrested too. That's how deadly serious I am about this. This has got to be taken seriously. Our life depends on it. The life of a nation. We are being invaded by every single dump on the planet. Yeah. All right. One last word on the, got this email about the interview. I got a couple of these. Hey, Jesse, I caught you on Tucker Carlson's show tonight. You guys should do show stuff more often. Your insight along with Tucker's great questions were great, but I think the most mesmerizing thing was the contrast between Tucker's out-of-control big head of hair and your shiny cue ball head. I just couldn't look away. Just amazing. Anyway, it was great. His name is Ben. That's not nice. That's not very nice. Jesse, I listened to your conversation with Tucker Carlson. I'm hyper-informed. I'm frustrated. I can't seem to get the message out about what's going on in the country. I wanted to ask GOP politicians, what the beep are you doing? Do something. Please tell me what I can do because voting isn't enough. Dems do so many underhanded things, so on and so forth. Give me some direction. Listen, the direction you must take and I must take is aggressive local legal action. Local, legal, and aggressive. You cannot walk into the White House. You're not the president. You're not in Congress. I don't want you to grab your weapons and march down to the border and get yourself thrown in prison because that's all that's going to happen. We're not talking about doing something stupid or illegal or anything like that here. Local, aggressive action. It doesn't sound like enough because you're desperate. I'm desperate. These things are happening right now. We need them to stop right now. We're watching our country disintegrate and we want it to be saved. But saving the country is a process. Remember that. A process. It's not an event. It is a process. I actually really like that, Chris. Chris, write that down. That's a great quote. What, Chris? Listen. That's a great quote. Why don't you accept that? Maybe you just don't understand. Let me explain it in more detail.
This is not an attempt to ban TikTok. It's an attempt to make TikTok better. Tic-tac-toe. A winner. A winner.
A winner, Chris. That's a winning. Look, saving the country is not an event. It's a process. I love that so much. I think I'm going to repeat that 5 times during the show. What, Chris? You know what? I'm going to give myself that one right there. I'm making a tally right here. Saving the country is not an event. It's a process. That's 2, Chris. I've got 3 more still to come. And in all seriousness, it means getting involved at the local level and changing the culture of this country. Because the ultimate goal is we have a federal government occupied with people who don't want to destroy it. That's the ultimate goal. It's going to take us a long time to get there. We'll keep working on it. All right. Let's deal with this New York City jury, the foreign aid bill, and so much more. Before we get to those things, let's get to this. Let's get to $25. What can you get with $25 anymore? A couple pizzas on special night and about it. Well, MyPillow has a $25 extravaganza sale. Might be worth looking into. Remember, MyPillow is the company that not only shares our values, they promote our values. They've cost themselves a fortune getting kicked out of all these big box stores by pushing, promoting what you believe and what I believe. MyPillow isn't something I fall back on. They're my first stop when I need pillows, sandals, bedding, dog beds, blankets, mattress toppers. I go to MyPillow first. Try their pajamas. Right now they have a $25 extravaganza sale on 6-piece towel sets, on sandals, on their premium MyPillow with the Giza fabric. Go take advantage of the $25 extravaganza sale. MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special square. Use the promo code Jesse. Or call them, 800-845-0544. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Do not forget to send in your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com, where I pretend to be a doctor, even though I'm an uneducated white trash idiot on Friday, and I answer all of your questions. Chris, that was Red Hot Chili Peppers. What do we think about Red Hot Chili Peppers? You think they're great? Michael, Red Hot Chili Peppers? I think they're good. I don't think I'd say great. What, Chris? Okay, now that's a very fair point. And that's actually an interesting discussion for all of us in life. What Jewish producer Chris said was they've been good for like 35 years. And the longevity does add to it, right? Now, let me ask you. Would you rather burn major bright for 5 years or be good for 30 years? Essentially, look, let's think about comedy this way. Chris Farley, now the younger generation probably won't fully understand how funny Chris Farley was, because a lot of that old Saturday Night Live stuff and Tommy Boy and whatnot, that's kind of more my generation. But when Chris Farley was making movies, he only made a few. They were so freaking pants-wetting funny. And when he was doing Saturday Night Live, he was so funny, he made the other comedians break down during the segments, break down laughing. That's how funny he was. And then had a bad drug problem and weights and a big weight problem. And died early. He died early. It was ugly. He died early. But everyone remembers Chris Farley. Now, who's a comedic actor that's been good for 30 years? Ben Stiller, probably. Ben Stiller's a good example. Very, very good for 30 years. Whose career would you rather have? Not whose life. I don't think any of us want to die at whatever young Farley did, but I don't know the answer to that. Anyway, let's move on and talk about some other things tonight. I feel like the Trump jury, the Trump New York City trial thing, I feel like it's less interesting to me than it is to other people. And for this reason, I feel like we already know how this is going to go. Don't you feel that way? So where's the mystery? It's not as if there's some great mystery to the thing. We know. The trial is a farce. It's ridiculous. It shouldn't ever be brought to trial. We know the judge is evil. Alvin Bragg is evil. Letitia James is evil. We know they're all evil. These are dirty, evil communists. We know they're doing this to try to help the election for Democrats. We know they're doing this to promote themselves and get a better seat at the communist table. We know all this. And we know what the jury will be. Manhattan voted 87% for Joe Biden. This is not like a 60-40 situation. 87%. You walk down the streets of Manhattan, and I do often. In fact, I think I'll be there in about a month. You walk down the streets of Manhattan. If it's a native New Yorker you're walking by, 87% chance they think Donald Trump is Hitler. Listen to this segment from MSNBC, and it's just, this is all stuff we knew that was coming.
One of the jurors called up the court to inform them that she did not know whether she could actually be fair and impartial. She was asked to come to court this morning and went before the defense and went before the district attorney's office and answered questions about how she got to that conclusion. And she said in part that she got calls just yesterday alone from, quote, friends, colleagues, and family, quote, questioning my identity as a juror. She continued, I don't believe I can be fair and unbiased and let the outside influences not affect me in the courtroom. This hits at the heart of the difficulty for these jurors over the course of the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Well, it's not difficult. It's already done. Do you remember the Kyle Rittenhouse trial? Just stay with me for a minute. Kyle Rittenhouse, you know who Kyle Rittenhouse was. He was that kid out there doing community service. Kenosha, Wisconsin starts to burn from all the Antifa animals and Black Lives Matter animals out there in the streets. Kyle Rittenhouse is armed. He goes out, tries to guard some businesses. Because remember, they were torching cars. It was really, really bad that night. And he gets in the bad pickle with some of these dirty street communists, kills a couple of them. Now, what Kyle Rittenhouse did was on videotape. It was on videotape. I've watched it. You've watched it. We've seen what he did. Very clearly self-defense. There's not even a tiny amount of debate about the whole thing. It was very clearly self-defense. You realize that it was touch and go. Kyle Rittenhouse almost spent the rest of his life in prison. He was only acquitted in very 50-50 Wisconsin because of the overwhelming amount of video evidence that was out there. If it wasn't for all that cell phone footage, Kyle Rittenhouse, at the age of 18, goes to state prison for the rest of his natural life. That was in 50-50 Wisconsin. Now, why? It's not just the dirty commie demons who will be on the jury. It's the norms and normas who will be on the jury, meaning, maybe if you get on that jury, on Trump's jury in New York City, Maybe you're a Democrat. Maybe you're independent. Even let's make it an independent. You're an independent. Not really a Republican. Not really a Democrat. Not really a political person. Okay. All right. Fine. You're just a norm. You don't really pay attention. Hey, watching the game. Yankees are on. You're one of those guys. How much pressure does the media alone put on you once they track you down, get your identity, and start asking you questions? If you're a norm, when you pull up your Facebook page and you have all of a sudden, oh my gosh, 200 comments from commies threatening to murder you and your family. And that's exactly how these commies operate if you don't convict Donald Trump. If you're a norm or a norma, you're going to convict him just because it's less of a hassle. That's why these communists do the things they do. The street activism, the threats, someone post his address. That's why they operate the way they operate, because intimidation tactics are extremely effective on even brave people, let alone Norm and Norma, who just want to go sit on the jury, get out of work for a couple of days, have a sidewalk gyro and go home. It's already done. He's already convicted. I don't think he'll go to prison in this one. This will all work out in the end, but got already convicted. So I just don't find it that interesting. All right. Let's deal with the disconnect of voters. But first, let's deal with the deep state, the foreign aid bills. And let's also deal with the fact that they are attacking the food supply. You know this. You know, you watched what they did during COVID. You've watched the regulations. Now these politicians are more and more comfortable getting up. John Kerry just gave a speech. We've played it for you on the show before, how we have to attack agriculture. They are attacking the food supply. They believe we have too much food and they wish to starve about 9 billion people to death. Go to My Patriot Supply and act as if they're starving people to death on purpose, because that's exactly what they're doing. It's what these climate communists have always done. Now, what is My Patriot Supply? They have emergency food kits, 3-month food kits and various others. And right now they have a special on 4-week food kits, because not everybody can afford 3 months. I realize that. You save $50 per kit at preparewithjessekelly.com. Everyone in your home needs emergency non-perishable food, and My Patriot Supply has them prepped and ready to go. So go get your food kit. Preparewithjessekelly.com. They ship fast, they ship free, and it's unmarked. And keep it that way. Keep it quiet, please. Preparewithjessekelly.com. We'll be back.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.